Glory, we honor you. We thank you because we do not take your word for granted. We do not take your love for granted. We do not take the revelation of your word for granted. We know it's what we live by. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, that man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we know we live by your word. Our physical bodies, yes, are sustained by bread, but we know we live by revelation. We live by the things you show to us, the things you've revealed unto us in your word, and the things you do reveal to us by your spirit. So we thank you for illumination. We thank you for revelation. We thank you for understanding. Thank you because your word is real. It's real. It's real. Father, I know that this particular topic is dear to your heart. I know that. And I ask right now in faith, by faith, with my brothers and sisters watching, you know, in right now, joining in later, or who might watch this much later on YouTube or listen to the audio, I join faith, Father, with everyone, that the eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Even I who teach this, I know there's still so much yet to be walked in. So I pray for every one of us that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. I'll be filled with the light of your word, Father. We'll be filled with the light of your word. I give you praise. I give you praise. Thank you there, Father. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right. So good to be here. Good to have you here. You know, so yeah, a brief background. I came across this revelation, sometime 1997. I come across this revelation sometime in 1997, and you know, it changed me. I began to learn about the life of God. I'd heard a bit about it, but it came up a lot stronger. 97, I think 97, a lot more into 98. I remember it was 1998 that I bought a Kenneth Hagin two-part series. Zoe was cassette back then. It was a pack of two cassettes in it. So Zoe part one and two, and I listened. Oh God, I listened. And it helped me. It further affected my health positively. I mean, I was, you know, head of my class, like my class representative, class governor. I was secretary of my fellowship by my final year, 99. I was busy, and then I had this, just always went to people's homes, some of my friends, knocked on their doors, shared God's word with them. Sometimes I was coming back home like midnight. I mean, you're sharing the word with someone, and maybe they're cooking. You came to say hi, of course. They want to entertain you with some food's on fire. And then I ate a lot of rice, but I still eat a lot of rice, I guess. But I mean, I guess, so it was just, maybe it was an easy thing to always, so something was usually on fire, well, a number of times, or sometimes just drinking biscuits or something. And then you teach the word to a point where you don't eat, you can't eat, you're full. Not like you're not hungry, no, you just, the excitement of the word, you guys are there 2-3 hours, and then you had promised another person, you need to get over to the person's place, and it was school area, you know, so I was walking from one point to the next, then I'm back home midnight. So it was all beginning to tell on me physically. You know, I was wearing out. I would wake up in the morning and like I couldn't lift my arm, couldn't lift my legs. I was getting exhausted. You know, my friends would ask, what's up? And I'm like, I just want to meditate a little bit. It wasn't just I was trying to meditate. All right. I knew my way out was meditation. That was it. So I'll come to school. I started getting to school late. Classes were 8. I'm in school like 9:30, 10. I mean, I started looking like a very sorry case, but I was wearing out. I was breaking down like from within. I didn't know what it was, but I had learned about the life of God, and I put it to work. I was meditating on the Christ life within me. I was meditating on the resurrection power within me. I put it to work. It energized me, guys. It energized me. It broke loose within me. I began to walk in greater levels of strength and energy and revelation. I've seen this work. I'm just trying to give just personal examples, because at the end of the day, if every one of us would walk in these things personally, if we gain revelation of it, and I get a love to, you know, encourage people that sometimes when you learn faith, you know, a topic like faith, you don't learn it for yourself. You learn it for, you know, that brother, that sister, that you learn it. You're not just learning it for yourself. You're going to learn it for your kids, because you're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to use your faith. All right. And the more developed in the faith work that you are, the more secured you are. Now, you know, you might not know, you know, how strong that faith would work for someone else, but at least you know it's going to work for you, right? You know it's going to work for you. So we're talking about the real, I mean, the authentic, that authentic gift of life. So maybe you've had to say, oh, thank God for the gift of life. Thank God for the gift of life. And maybe you saw the video, you know, and then like, no, then what is the gift of life? It's clear. I could say this in 5 minutes, and I could say this in 5 hours. I could also teach this in 5 days. So we have 4 hours. So just jump straight. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Once again, we honor you. We bless you. We praise you. We bless you and thank you. We give you glory, dear Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. All right. Praise God. Okay. Woo-wee. Amen. John 3:16. Just let's go to the popular one straight up first. John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. Hallelujah. I know who could quote it, but we're going to read it. So John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we know this verse. All right, but it has to have a new meaning. Watch this. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anybody who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So there seem to be two options for everybody. All right, either they perish or they have everlasting life. But watch this. These options are based on how they respond to God's gift. Now, God's gift to you and I, God's gift to the world is Jesus Christ. And we see that here, for God to love the world that he gave, all right? So God gave, you give a gift. So God gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him, whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So it seems to be, all right, that within the gift of Jesus, for God to love the world that he gave, within that gift of Jesus, there is a gift. All right. So for God to love the world that he gave. So whoever receives that gift will not perish, but have everlasting life. So the gift in the gift, okay, the reason for the gift is that everlasting life. If God wasn't going to give us everlasting life, he wasn't going to give us Jesus Christ. The reason why God gave us Jesus Christ was because he wanted to give us eternal life. It's clear. We're going to read a number of Bible verses. I trust you'll be ready for that. Like I said, I could teach it in 5 minutes, 5 hours, 5 days, maybe 5 weeks. I've done more than 5 weeks anyway. Of course, maybe not every day for the 5 weeks, but hey, God gave us Jesus. I have Jesus. All right. I have Jesus. But you don't just have Jesus. You got something when you got Jesus. And that's what this whole teaching is about. That's what this revelation is about. But the point you see here is, God was giving a gift to people who were already alive. So if being alive was the gift of life, then there would be no need for another gift of life, because we all have the gift of life. And watch this again. Whoever believes in him, all right, would not perish, but have everlasting life. So let's look at the 17th verse. We could drop. Maybe 17, 18, and we could pause at 19. But watch 17. For God sent his son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the world needs saving. The world through him might be saved. Verse 18, please. Verse 18. He who believes on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. But he who believes not is condemned already, all right? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So you realize in this place that anyone who doesn't accept Jesus is already condemned, meaning the whole of humanity is already condemned. We'll get to that in some minutes, all right? We'll get to that. I just need to lay this down. He who believes is not condemned. He who doesn't believe is condemned already. Why? Because he's not believing. He's not accepting that gift of the Son of God, all right? So God wants us to have a gift. And that's the reason why Jesus came. Now, these guys are alive. All of us, when we got born again, we were alive. But being alive is not the gift of life. What do we say? Maybe the gift of living. I don't know what you want to call it. But and why I believe, watch this, because someone could say, well, does it matter? Why I believe it does matter is, you know the way we began to say it is well? So everybody now says it is well, all right? Because they heard it from us, all right? Everybody says it is well. And, you know, you might have heard someone not born again, not feeling well in his or her body and say, you know, I'm strong. And the person's trying to say, you know, that Christianese method of saying I'm not feeling well, but I'm not trying to tell you, I'm trying to tell you I'm not feeling well, but I really don't want to say I'm not feeling well because you might think I'm speaking down. So I'm actually going to tell you that I'm strong so that you can actually know that I'm not feeling well, because I want to tell you I'm not feeling well, but I don't want to sound like I'm not a Christian that has faith. You understand that kind of thing? All right. So you find that, and that's not faith, okay? That's not faith. You find that unbelievers say that, non-believers, those who are not born again, they say, I am strong. You know, why weren't you at work? You know, I was strong yesterday. Because they learned it from us. They learned it from us. They picked it from us. All right? They say it is well. They picked it from us. Now you find a whole lot of people saying, thank God for the gift of life. You find people doing light and life, and they don't know what those words mean. We are the custodians of those words. We are the custodians of the truth. So when they say, thank God for the gift of life, and we allow everyone keep saying, thank God for the gift of life, and they are not thanking him for the real gift of life, they might not have a value for the real gift of life, because even most believers don't even have a value for the gift of life. Do you get this? This is why, you know, the effort needs to be put into it. It's not just nomenclature. Come on, it's just some, doesn't have any meaning. We're just thanking God for being alive. I know, but the whole sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the whole reason why he was born, he lived, he suffered, he died, all of that was so that you and I can have eternal life. You need to know. Every believer needs to know. It has to be preached. All right. I remember when, you know, God released me from the ministry I'd served as a pastor for a number of years. It just made sense that the core message of my ministry was eternal life, because it had been the core message of my life. All right. Of course, while serving as a pastor in the ministry where I served, I don't have to say what they're not asking me to say, but the good news, and thank God for such, was that that's also what the church believed. I mean, I remember my first opportunity of taking a foundation school class, and I wasn't a pastor then. My first class was Zoe. Oh dear, we had a blast. We had a blast. All right. So that's what the church believes. It was fun for me. So people whom I've pastored like maybe 20, 19 years far back would say, oh, what you preach now is what you preach then. Yeah, because this revelation became the core of my life, my living. It's what I believe in. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. So you see here that God is giving the gift of eternal life to people who are alive. So waking up every day is not the gift of life. And if all of us become evangelists of this revelation, it's not my revelation. And you see that for a minute. Because listen, I believe the only reason why Jesus came was this. Did he come to take away sin? Yes, but he didn't come to take away sin because he wanted to take away sin. He came to take away sin because he needed to take sin out of the way in order to give us something. Are you getting this? I'll show you that. He had to take the sin out in order to get something across to us. He had to fulfill the law in order to get something across. So all he came to do was give us life. Did he forgive our sins? Yes, he did, but he didn't come to forgive our sins alone. our sins needed to be forgiven. We needed to have a clean slate in order, because God will need to pour a new wine into a new wineskin. Forgiveness is not a new wineskin. Forgiveness is the same old guy, all right? It's not forgiveness. No, it's a change of nature. So it's a change of wineskin. Are you getting this? So you say, oh, but Jesus came to forgive me and I'm forgiven. And then you might go back to do the same old thing because the nature isn't changed. I mean, like the prophet said, can the leopard change his skin? The answer is no. All right. Because of a nature. So what God did was change the nature. If you remember, we've gone through all of that already from Ezekiel 36, right? A new spirit I'll give you, a new heart I'll put within you. So it was a change of nature. So you are more than a forgiving person. All right. You are more than someone who's had his or her sin forgiven or cleansed. You are more than that. You are a new creation. You are someone who has the life and the nature of God. Do you understand that? You're more than, oh, my sins were forgiven. You're way more than that. All right. Did he do that? Yeah. Did he stop there? No. All right. You understand that? Did he do that? Yes, he did. Did he stop there? No, he didn't. All right. So let's go to John 10:10. I'm beginning with the very familiar ones. All right. John chapter 10 and verse 10. He came to give us life. All right, he came to give life to people who already are alive. All right, so I'll use those two familiar ones and you just allow me to run through. Because John, the gospel of John is the gospel of eternal life. John wrote about this more than anybody else. He did, all right? Of course, Paul had a revelation of all of this, but John wrote about this more. John talked about it. All right, John 10:10. You guys know it already, okay? So in John 10:10, he said, I am come, all right, that you may have life. Of course, you know the whole thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. I'm come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. This is why he came. So if you put John 3:16 and John 10:10, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Anybody who believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So anybody who believes, I believe in Jesus, what's the next thing? Have everlasting life. I believe in Jesus, what's the next thing? Have everlasting life. I believe in Jesus, what's the next thing? Have everlasting life. Do you understand? The reason why God sent him was to give us eternal life, all right? So John 10 and 10 again, all right? John 10:10, I am come, mission statement, declaration of his operation, all right? I am come that you may have life and that you might have it more abundantly. He's saying this to people who are alive. This is the gift of life. This is the gift of life. All right. Let's now put it in its clear language. All right. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. Romans 6, 23. Familiar. Romans 6 and 23. And I love Romans 6, 23. I'll come back to it again, but just allow me, all right, to just point on this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So thank God for the gift. Here it is, guys. Here it is. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, could you see where you are? Thank God for the gift of life. Thank God for the gift of life. Thank God for the gift of life. Hallelujah. This is it. This is it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So just run through a few places in John. So John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. You might want to write these down. But of course, as usual, the videos and the audio will be available for your consumption once Monday. All right. So we're good. So John chapter 3, verse 36. John 3, 36. So I want you to see John 3, 36. He that believes on the Son. You might want to read this with me, okay? There's something about reading it together, affirming it where you are, all right? You might want to do this if you don't mind where you are. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. He that does not believe the Son shall not see life. Why? The wrath of God abides in him. Did you get that? He that believes on the Son has eternal life. He who does not believe the Son shall not see life, because the wrath of God would abide in him. All right. Now you see John 5:39. All right. I mean, I grew up, I was around Deeper Life Folk a few times, growing up a bit. So we use a bit of John 5:39. So we're going to do, John 5. So John 5:39, we'll take it into John 5:40. Jesus said here, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they, all right, are they that testify of me. So you're checking the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. But look at verse 40, because it was, you know, confronting, right, these guys. He said, and you will not come to me that you may have life. You will not come. So they were busy searching the scriptures. Then he appeared and they ignored him. He said, you're searching that, thinking you're going to get life, but you're not coming to me. But you're not coming to me, all right, that you may have life, all right? You need to come to me that you may receive eternal life, all right? John chapter 6, verse 33. John 6, 33. I'm just picking Bible verses. Just skip some, pick some. You know, that would help us. John chapter 6, 33. Jesus said, all right, you remember when they ate bread, okay? He multiplied. And then they were looking for him. And he said to them, you know, Don't labor for the meat that perishes, but labor for the food, you know, that has eternal life. You find that from verse 27. I've skipped all of that. But this, he said, for the bread of God, watch this, is he that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The bread of God is he that comes down from heaven and gives life. You know what? Can we just read? It's a bit of a number of verses. But if I skip all of this, you might not get the import of some of the conversations holding here. And I want us to read it, all right? Please, let's go to John 6, 27. Allow me. It's a Bible study. So let's just read through the verses, please, all right? John 6, 27. They found him. All right, let's 26, please. It gives a better context on 26. Thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. And Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and you were filled, all right? You ate the loaves, you ate the food, and then, you know, you were filled. And that's the only reason why you're seeking me. Labor not for the meat that perishes. And we need to say this to churches, to church people. Now, there's nothing wrong with offering food and, you know, having great times at church, but If that's the reason why many come to church and they are not properly redirected, we miss the point. Labor not, guys, even every one of us, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endures unto eternal life. Watch this, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him has got the Father. Seal 28, then said they to him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he sent. They said, therefore unto him, what sign are you going to show us that we might see and believe? You know, what you do, our fathers ate manna. They got into trouble here. Our fathers ate manna, you know, in the desert, as it is written, he gave them manna. You know, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. You know, when you're talking to the real bread of life and you're bragging about one bread, some people ate in the wilderness. You know, they just got into trouble here with him. All right. Our fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say to you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. Aya, they pressed something there. And I pray you see this revelation. He said, Moses did not give you bread from heaven, but my Father gave you the true bread from heaven. So there's bread and there's bread, guys. All right. 33, for the bread of God, all right, is he that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Hey, and you will find John used this word everywhere. John talked about it. The bread of God is he that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said unto him in verse 34, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And he said to them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger. He that believes in me shall never thirst. I am the bread. I am. Hallelujah. What bread? The bread of life. This is the gift of life speaking to them. It says, I am the authentic gift of life. I am the real gift of life. I am the real bread of life. Hiya. And all I give is life, life, life. I give life. I give life. I am the bread of life. And this is one of the I am statements, right? I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the bread of life. All right. He that comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. But I say to you that you have also seen me and you believe not. All that my Father gives unto me shall come to me, and him that will come to me in no wise will I cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is, you know, my Father's will that sent me, all right, that of all that he gives me, I lose none, but I raise everyone up on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, 40 now, that everyone who sees me and believes in me, watch this, may have everlasting life. And I'll raise him up on the last day. Everlasting life. And I'm going to raise him up on the last day. Oh, dear. The conversation gets hotter. Let's skip a bit to what now? 45. All right. It is written in the prophets that you shall be taught of God, every man therefore that heard and has learned from the Father will come to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he that is of the Father. I have seen the Father. Verily, verily, he. Verse 47, it's clear. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believes on me has eternal life. You know, I wish I'd asked us to count how many times this was said. You know, now we're not checking every verse where this is used in the Gospel of John. But if you were counting how many times this point is being made, you'd realize already without us going too far, this is the gospel. Guys, this is a gospel. Many years ago, I remember preaching somewhere. I had a privilege of preaching somewhere and I said, you know, we talk about prosperity gospel, healing gospel, you know, marriage message. And I said, the message is eternal life. Unequivocally, that's what it is. Now, yes, you need to break it down into many of those areas for many people to assimilate. And that, you know, it's like when you say good, God is good, God is good, God is good. Some people don't get it. You could say it a million times. Some might not get it. You might not talk about God's goodness, enjoying the goodness of God in your finances. They go, yeah, now I got it. Enjoying the goodness of God in your health. Oh, now I got it. But when you say God is good, God is good. So the same way we'll go, eternal life, eternal life. Some don't get it if it's not broken down. But then unconsciously, which has happened to me a whole lot, we could get lost in the breakdown. But then you have to come to, hey, this is it. This really is it, all right? This is it. And did you see the verse I showed you right now? Verse 47, John chapter 6. Verily, verily, and when Jesus says verily, he means it, right? I mean, he means everything he says, but then this is another level. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life. You might want to chew on this. For God so loved the world, I've come to give you life. I mean, this is why he came. The gift of God. He that believes in me has it. Do you believe in him? Then you have eternal life. Then you have eternal life. We'll look at what it is, what it does, all right, the reality of it, but we're laying foundation, all right? He that believes on me has eternal life. Then we'll come to the I am. He had used it earlier, but he uses it, you know, he stands alone now in the 848 verse. I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. He's saying there's something about this life. There's something about this death, this bread that neutralizes the power of death. There's something about it. It defeats it. It destroys it. There's something about this. All right. So just lay this and then go to why life. All right. Why he had to come. All right. Why? Well, what's up? This is the bread which comes down from, verse 50, right? This is a bread that comes down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man, you know, we brag about, oh, they had manna. Jesus saying, man, I'm better than manna. All right? I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I give him is my flesh, and I will give, and which I give for the life of the world. The Jews thereof strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh? So Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. You know, this is not talking about communion or breaking of bread. It is not talking about communion or breaking of bread. Neither is this talking about cannibalism, which some have assumed that that's what he's saying. The answer is sleeping right here in the verse, all right? Verse 53, all right? Which I give, 53. Jesus said, very, very, I say unto you, except a man eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life in you. Verse, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. It's sounding really like cannibalism, but it's not. He that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, I in him. There's a union, eternal life union. Oh, as the living Father sent me, and I live, I exist, I find my life and my bearing by the Father. Even so, he that eats me shall live by me, will exist, will find his bearing and completeness and totality by me. Verse 58, this is that bread that came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, they said, this is hard saying, who can hear it? And when Jesus knew in himself, his disciples murmured, he said unto them, does this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? This is the whole point, guys. It is the spirit that quickens the flesh. Profits nothing. The words I speak unto you, they are spirit. They are life. So he's communicating spiritual message, spiritual truth, spiritual reality. So it's not physical bread, physical flesh and physical blood. He's saying this communication I'm doing is spirit. The revelation of it is what you have to get. So it's not the eating of the body, but the words I speak to you, the words I communicate to you, these words in themselves are spirit. They are life. So by this revelation, you would understand bread and blood, because once you accept the sacrifice of the breaking of my body and the shedding of my blood, and you believe it, because the whole story here in context is, all right, because it's saying here, if you eat my flesh, drink my blood, then you're going to have life. But earlier, like in verse 47 that we read earlier, you could just help me flash up 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me has everlasting life, all right? He that believes on me has everlasting life. So that's clear. So it is the believing on him that now qualifies for, spiritually speaking, the eating of the flesh and the drinking of the blood. It's in you believing in the shedding of his blood and the breaking of his body. All right. You believe in it, then you have eternal life. Do you understand? So it's about believing. It's not about eating anything. All right. In this context, praise God. And I trust that it's beginning to get clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer and clearer. Oof, let's go to what now? That's John 6. Should we touch John? Let me just go to the end. There's something that, you know, some Bible scholars call the mini gospel. All right. So John chapter 20, the mini gospel. John 20. Thank you, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. 31 of John 20. Now let's 30, John 20, 30. John chapter 20, verse 30. Thank you. Watch this. Mini gospel. Mini gospel by that summary of everything John was trying to say. And many other signs truly did Jesus, all right, did Jesus rather, in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Did you get that? I'll read it again. Verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these ones are written. And the reason why John is writing, that's all he's saying. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So John had told us in chapter 3, verse 16, God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have life. Jesus declared in John 10:10, I'm come that you may have life. Now, John is saying here, the reason why I wrote is so that you believe. because by believing, remember that John 6 and 47, whoever believes has everlasting life. So the key to receiving God's gift of eternal life is by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? So you don't just believe. Let me quickly point this out to you. Where the gospel is concerned, believing is not an end point. Where the gospel is concerned, guys, believing is not an end point. Believing leads to something. Did you get that? Believing leads to, this is a clear example, all right, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have. So if you believe, then you have. So don't go about just saying, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. It will do you a lot of good to say, I believe in Jesus. Therefore, I have. All right? I have. So you understand that. So believing in itself is not the end point. Whoever believes in his heart, confesses with his mouth, he's saved. So the believing and the confession, they are leading to salvation. So I'm not just believing and stopping there. So I believe, yes, what did your believing do? It got you something. Did you get that? Your believing got you something. Your believing gave you something. Thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. I believe. I have believed. Therefore, I have eternal life. I have believed. So I have eternal life. I do have eternal life. All right. Thank you, Lord. So why did man need eternal life? What was the need? What was the need for all of this? So I could pick from Genesis and then I could pick from Romans. So let's pick from Romans. Romans 5 and the 12th verse. Romans 5 verse 12. Why? Why do we need eternal life? Romans 5, 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful verse. Beautiful revelation in the Bible. That's Romans 5 and the 12th verse. All right. It's 5 and 12. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you. Watch this, guys. It says, therefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Watch this. And death by sin. So death passed upon all men because all sin. You need to get this. Through one man, sin entered the world. Then death entered because of that sin. Then what did death do? Death now traveled over all of humanity, even all of us that were not born then, because everybody sinned. The door to death entering the earth system was opened by Adam. So maybe, you know, the door was opened by Adam. Let me run to First Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. That should be what now? 20? Let's see. 1 Corinthians 15. Da, da, da. Okay, great. 20, 21, 22. It's somewhere there. Yes. Mm-hmm. Next verse it is. All right. Thank you. 20, yeah. Watch this, guys. So we saw in Romans 5, okay, that through one man, Adam, sin entered the world. Death entered through sin, then death spread upon all men. See this revelation here. It's amazing. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Watch the early part. By man came death. And this is a revelation. It means that the door of death was opened by man. You know, because people get to say, why did God allow death? Why, God never did. So we're going to go to Genesis and see from the beginning. God never did. By man came death. Adam opened that door and like death strolled in and that started raining all over and messing everybody up. And by man came also the resurrection of the dead. That's eternal life also, all right? So Adam opened the door and this is it. So God gives man dominion. You know that Genesis. Then the enemy came and then got the dominion of man. And God cannot come and say, hey, hand me that thing. Let me give it back to man. Why? God had said all things, all right? all dominion in Genesis chapter 1. Let him have dominion. Fish of the sea, birds of the air, cattle, God willed all of the earthly dominion to man. So the moment man came, I mean, the enemy came and got it off man, it became the enemy's. You're like, how? Because God gave it to man. Do you remember in the temptation of Jesus Christ, the three of them, all right? One of them was the fact that he was taken to the pinnacle and the devil was saying, look at all the glories of the world. They have been given to me and I can give it to whoever I want to. All you need to do is bow down and worship me. Jesus right there could have said, oh, come on, you're lying. These things don't belong to you. They belong to my Father. No. All right. It couldn't have been a temptation. It wouldn't have been recorded as a temptation if it wasn't a temptation. It was a temptation. And the devil wasn't lying at that point where he said, if you bow down, thank you, Gabriel. And he said unto him, all these things will I give you if you fall down and, you know, worship me. But let's see the verse before that. Let's see, you know, thank you. And the devil takes him up into an exceeding high mountain and shows him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. All right, next verse. And said unto him, all these things will I give you if you will bow down and worship me. Verse 10. Help me find the account in Luke. I think it will be Luke which said it better. Help me find the Luke account. Because it will be Luke, all right, that said that these things have been given to me. Because you realize, okay, Jesus could have just said, hey, it's not a temptation, it's not yours, no. But how did he get into his hand? It's got someone transferred it to him. So God hands it over to the devil, okay? I mean, forgive me. God hands it over to man. Then man hands it over to the devil. God will be unrighteous and unjust to say, I'm coming to collect it from the devil. So what God did was to become man. It was man that lost it. So it is man that has to get it back. So God becomes man and says, I'm coming to get this thing back from you. I'm coming to get it off you. Did you get that? It was by man that death came and it was by man that resurrection came. Not by God. Now, God, through man, you know, or through Jesus Christ, brought about the resurrection. But Adam, through disobedience, all right, brought about that death. Let me, okay. You got Luke? All right, yeah, you got Luke. All right, verse 6. Yes, thank you. This is it. Luke 4:6. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me. It's been given to me, and whoever I want, I will give it to. All right. So it's mine. It's been given. It was delivered to me. Question is, who gave it to him? So it wasn't handed over to him by God. God didn't say, hey, Lucifer, you've been a great guy. I just appreciate your services to me all this well. Take the earth. You know, take the dominion over the earth. All right. I mean, so we see volcanoes, we see many things going on, and then they say, oh, it's an act of God. No, it's not an act of God. No, and the devil did not have the authority over it from the beginning. Don't forget Genesis 1. God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over cattle on the land. And I like to interpret it this way because that's what it is, over fish and sea, over birds and air, over cattle and over the earth. Man had dominion over the clime. So you find that man handing that over to the devil through disobedience opened the door. And I hope that's clear, right? He opened the door. So let's go to Romans 5 again, verse 12, and maybe NLT, just to help someone see that. But thank you. Yeah, that, you know, you might need to write that, this 1 Corinthians 15:21 down, for by man came death, not by God. Man, it was a man that opened the door to death. It was by man he came, and it was by man resurrection came, and we've been of the first man, and then maybe tomorrow we're going to come to this, because there's something you need to see in the 45th there about verse, all right, and the verses around it. But Romans 5:12 NLT, thank you. Romans chapter 5 and the 12th verse, NLT. Glory to God. When Adam sinned, watch this, guys, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone because everyone sinned. Did you get that? Adam's sin entered. When he sinned, everything just got messed up. So you see in Genesis chapter 2 that God already was telling Adam, of all the trees in this place, you can eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you may not freely eat. In fact, the day you eat of this tree, that day you will die. The day you do this. So Bible is saying here, there was sin and then there was death. God had told him, guy, there is sin. There is death. Don't touch it. Now, in Genesis, we're talking about the tree and the fruit and all of that. When we get over into the epistles, the Bible seems silent about the tree and seems silent about the fruit. But the language of disobedience is clear. What the core context might have been might not be so clear, but there was a disobedience. Adam disobeyed something that God said to him, and that disobedience, all right, opened him up to the operation of the devil. Do you understand that, please? So we see, if we travel from here to Genesis, God says in chapter 2 of Genesis, don't touch this fruit. Don't touch the tree. The day you eat of the fruit of this tree, that day you're going to die. So by chapter 3, Satan enters into, all right, the snake, and then they show up, talk to Eve. Eve eats it, gives it to her husband that was with her. And then they go hiding when they hear the voice of God. You wonder, but they didn't die. So that's the thing. There is physical death, and then there is spiritual death. So man had to die spiritually before man could die physically. Man had to disconnect from the source of life. Did you get that? Man had to disconnect from the fountain of life. So Adam disconnected. In Adam disconnecting from the fountain of life, the whole of the earth was affected. That's why when you read in Romans chapter 8, and it says to us, all right, that the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, because they were subject in hope, subjected in vanity, and they are waiting to come into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. It's because Adam's one sin affected not just mankind, but Adam's one sin affected the whole earth. Adam's one sin affected everything. God started declaring about the curse, you know, upon the ground, thorns and thistles, it will produce for you. You have to sweat before you can eat. The ground wasn't producing that before then. All right. Women had to have a lot of more trouble in childbirth. There was just problem was released on the earth. So we see Genesis as God was just mad at them and God was raining curses at them. No, I see that. But I see also the fact that God is basically giving them the consequence of what has happened. See, this is what's going on. This is the thing that's going to go on. This is what's going to happen to you. All right. So back to that Romans, I just want us to peek that Romans 3 a little bit into the 17th verse. Romans 5 from 12 to 17. Romans 5 from 12 to 17. All right. Thank you. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. All right. Still 12. All right. Thank you. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone because everybody sinned. Now 13. Thank you. Yes, people sinned even before the law was given, but it was not counted as sin because there was no law. Not yet. All right. Because there was not yet any law to break. Thank you. All right. 14. Still, watch this, guys. Everybody died from the time of Adam to the time of Moses. Even those who did not disobey an explicit commandment of God. So Adam disobeyed something God said, right? As Adam did. Now, Adam is a symbol, a representation of Christ who was yet to come. Verse 15. But there is a great difference in Adam's sin and God's gift. So there is a gift. All right. So this is introducing a new, another gift. So if one of you use gifts of God, one of them is eternal life. The other is righteousness. All right. But this is it. All right. Another is the gift of the Holy Spirit. They're all connected, really, but topic after topic. All right. there is a difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. And this is what we're learning. Death spread upon all men. All right. So why was eternal life needed? Why did we need eternal life? Because man died. Don't say, yeah? Yeah. Don't forget. Jesus came to give life to people who were breathing, living, moving around. It means while they were breathing, living, and moving around, they were dead. So he said, I came to give you life. You're saying indirectly, you guys are dead. You need life. So why do we need eternal life? Because through Adam, sin entered, death spread upon all men. Spiritual death. It's the spiritual death that gives birth to stealing, killing. It's they're all forms and products of death. Sickness is death, guys. It's incipient death. It's a premature stage of it. Something is not working. Something is wrong. And then we have to lay demand on what we have received. And what have we received? He that believeth has everlasting life. He that believeth has everlasting life. He that believeth has everlasting life. All right. But there is a great difference between Adam's sin and God's gracious gift. For the sin of this one man, Adam, brought death to many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of forgiveness, all right, to many through this other man, Jesus Christ. All right, verse 16 now. Hallelujah. And the results of God's gracious gift, still talking about gift again, is very different from the result of one man's sin. For Adam's sin led to condemnation, but God's free gift leads to our being made right with God, even though we are guilty of many sins. All right, verse 17. Now we'll pause on 17 and move, all right, so that we could just keep building up our points. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. Watch this. The sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. I get to ask people, why do you pray before you travel? Is it a prayer of thanksgiving? Usually it's not. It's a prayer of protection. Not a bad thing if you want to do that or if you're led to do that, all right? Sometimes the Holy Spirit might, all right, instruct you, just nudge you to take authority over certain things about a trip you're backing on or something. But on the average, most of those prayers for protection or prayers for travel, it's a consciousness of death. It shows how strong death has been. It's traveled through and the door was opened by Adam, but a new door has been opened. Hallelujah. A new door. We no longer live under that cloud that Adam created. We no longer live under that atmosphere. We once lived there, but you might have been moved, which all of us are, but experience this other one and not know what to do. Hence this beautiful teaching. So sin, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to reign. Rain in homes, rain in jobs, rain in lives, rain. And death so much became a master. Death would just rule. It's almost like death could, not like it sleeps and wakes up, but it's almost like death could wake up and decide, I'm picking these 10 people away today. They're going to die today. Now it's spiritual death, but it comes into all those areas. That's the only way it could come. Because Adam wasn't built to be sick or weak or die. Man wasn't from the beginning. All right? Even science has said that our cells should reproduce itself and just regenerate every 7 years. All right? Some, you know, it's amazing that man should, there's no reason for man to die. Man was wired to run. That's us. That's how God created us. But what's going on? It's death. Is that climate of death, and it's found expression in areas of our lives. All right, let's finish the 17th verse. Thank you, dear Lord Jesus. All right, glory to God. For the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many, but even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness for all who receive it, will live in triumph over sin and death. I could read the King James and all of that. No, but I need to bring out a point here. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. So the power that Adam allowed death to have, Jesus, hallelujah, has unlocked a new kind of authority over sin and over death. And this death, again, is a spiritual death that gives birth to all the things that happen to us. So why was there a need of eternal life? Because man was dead. Man was dead. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Ephesians 2, 1. Thank you there, Jesus. Man was dead. Man was dead. And you, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you were dead. Verse 2, please. Verse 2, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He's a spirit that works in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. Verse 3, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our nature, we're subject to God's anger just like everybody else. All right, now verse 4. Okay, so, but God, rich in mercy, with a great love with which he loved us. Verse 5. Watch verse 5, please. Even though we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. Did you get that? Even though we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life. I'm answering the question, what is the need? Why is there a need for eternal life? Because through Adam, death came in and all died. Do you get that? Through Adam, death came in and all died. So you see here that even though we were dead because of our sins, God gave us life. When we were dead, we were alive. But we were dead. Dead, disconnected from the life source. Disconnected from God. Disconnected from the life of God. That's what it means to be dead. So anybody you know around you who's not born again yet is dead. They are still dead. They live, they breathe. And that's why I said earlier that this message has to be preached. Some might feel, oh, but it's just nomenclature. You know, why do you feel people shouldn't say thank God for the gift of life? This is not what they mean. Because they will keep deceiving themselves, thinking they have the gift of life, not knowing that they don't. All right? They've copied the church. You know, those who are not born again have copied the church in saying it is well. They've copied the church in saying I am strong, when in fact they are not feeling well, which is what a number of people in the church, you know, that's what they do. And then now you find everybody, believer, non-believer, say, thank God for the gift of life. If the truth is taught and everybody begins to understand that the gift of life is that one you receive in Christ Jesus, that one you receive by Christ, it would affect that unbeliever. They won't freely say it. Because they don't thank God for, I don't have Jesus. That means the only way I can get that life is by having Jesus. They need to know. And then we who have believed need to now come into a revelation of, oh, like John wrote in that John 20, that the reason why I'm writing this is so that you may believe, and that believing, you may have life. You know, John is so emphatic. John is so intentional about his writing. You know, thanks. I was about to mention. All right. These things are written that you might, and I want you to see, we're going to move from here to 1 John 5:13. So you see, John is intentional about his writing. John is not just writing, I just feel like writing. Paul has written, Peter has written, everybody's writing something. Let me also write something. What should I write? No. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life. So this is, I'm writing for you to believe and so that you may have it. All right. So that's his reason for writing the Gospel of John. Now let's see 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John, that's the first, thank you, the Epistle of John. He said, these things have I written. So he wrote the Gospel, explained why. He now says here, these things have I written unto you that believe. So the first one, if you remember, John, you know, chapter 20, he said, I am writing so that you may believe. Did you get that? I am writing so that, you know, you may believe. Now he's saying, these things have I written unto you who already believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that believing, you know, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm writing. John is intentional. I wrote that one, and I'm writing, I wrote that one so that you guys will believe. Now he's writing to people who he knows they believe. He says, I'm writing so that. Intentionality. What does he want you to know? That you have the life of God. I have written unto you, hallelujah, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have it. And I am writing this. This is why I'm writing this one to you who believe. This is why I'm preaching this right now to you who believe, that you may know that you don't just believe, you have something. You have eternal life. You have eternal life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have eternal life. And that's believing. I'm still reading two things. All right. You know, these things I've written on you that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. These are written unto you that believe. My mind is on John 20. These are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. So you need to know. I need to know more than I do. You need to know more than you do, right? That you need to know. All right, let's do it. Message transition of this verse. I didn't want to touch that till some other point, but I'm trying to make a point on beyond the shadow of doubt, and it's message that puts it that way. Thank you. I want you to see this, guys. This is so beautiful. My purpose in writing is simply this, that you who believe in God's Son will know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. The reality, not the illusion. He wants us clear. I'm not explaining this further right now. Not now. He wants us clear. He wants us filled with a revelation. Guys, this is a gospel. This is why Jesus came. This is our testimony. This is our fighting ground. This is what it is. All right. This is what it is. What we're building. So allow me just keep laying the layer. Some of you are hearing this for the first time. Some of you might have heard me before. Some of you have heard me like say for years, but some are hearing this for the first time. So I need to lay foundation. So we're going to travel back again to the beginning. So from the very beginning, there's this circle of life and a circle of death. Did you get that? It's a circle of life and a circle of death. When God created all things, there was life. So John chapter 1 from the first verse. John chapter 1 from verse 1. Hallelujah. Thank you, dear Lord. Thank you, dear Lord. John 1, 1. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. So John chapter 1, verse 1. All right. Thank you. In the beginning, King James, let's do King James. Thank you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I know you know that, but I want you to follow. In the beginning, this is the very beginning, all right? So verse 2 now. The same was with God in the beginning. So remember the beginning, all right? The same was with God in the beginning. All things, verse 3, were made by him, the Word, and without him was not anything made that was made. Okay. Verse 4. In him, that Word was life. John introduced it here. All right. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John introduced a second strong word in his epistle. One is life, the other is light, the other is love. So you find unbelievers that want to say light and light. They don't know what it is. They don't know what it is. And if we don't teach this thing and teach it as much as we can, you know, sing songs about it, write music on it, you know, do stuff about this, it will not be known. Right? Just have people say all sorts, and this is not it. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And verse 5, of course, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God. His name was John. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, to be a witness of the light. And if you notice, light here now is capital L. So he came to be a witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8, all right? He was not the light, but was sent to be a witness of that light. Capital L again. Verse 9. That was a true capital L light that lights every man that comes into the world. So there's a revelation here. So we go to Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, again, in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And then darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then God said, what did he say? Let there be light. So in John, we see that God created all things by his word. And in that word was life. In that life was light. And it began to give a personality to that light, like it was a being, not just, you know, a substance. Okay, because the light in Genesis was not the sun. The sun showed up on day 4, and then there was light. Listen, this thing is amazing. Because in the beginning, there was light without the sun. At the end, there will be light without the sun. When you read Revelation 22, it says there will be no sun, there will be no night, there will be no candle. God himself will be their light. But, you know, but some other thing. Some other teaching, some other time, you know. So we find in Genesis, through the revelation John gives us in John 1, that there was a presence of light. It wasn't just a substance. In him was light. And it begins to say John came to bear witness of that light. And he calls it the light that lights every man that comes in. So there was a light. That's why men come, even men who grew up in, so to say, godless societies seem to have had a consciousness of God. And Romans 1 says that even those who did not have the law, but they still live by that, you know, Romans 1, Romans 2, that whole knowledge of God, that there was something, because there was a light that lights every man, that says, I'm here. There's a light that lights everyone who comes into the world. So in the beginning, guys, I am convinced that there was a presence of life. There was a presence of light by what John teaches us. But then, somewhere outside that realm, that garden, we could say, there was a presence, so to say, somewhere outside, not physical garden, just in the spiritual environment. Because listen, God is spirit, man is spirit, angels are spirits, demons and devils are spirits. Somewhere in that spirit environment, outside where Adam was, but was like a door, and death is saying, I want to get in. God says the way to rule and reign all of these things will be by your dominion. So in the garden, there seem to be two trees. There's a tree of life, not seem rather, there were two trees, all right, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Somewhere there, guys, there's a presentation of two forces. There is life, and then there's death. It's amazing reading through. God said, don't eat of the tree of life after man had disobeyed God. Prior to that, Bible never said anything about not eating the tree of life. It was just, don't touch that one. Moses shows up, Deuteronomy 29, No, not 29. That'll be 30. 30. During 30, 19. Right. 29, something else is in my head. Right. During 30, 19. And Moses is saying, guys, I have to let you know something. I want you to see this. Please see. During 30, 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your seed may live. I believe God placed this thing in front of Adam. This thing is death. This thing is life. Adam, choose life. It wasn't clear that way, but it was clear, don't choose death. But then after they were going to be chased out of the garden, God said, so that they don't touch the tree of life. That means they could have touched the tree of life. Because there was no instruction not to, but let's not get too theological about that. They disobeyed God. Death came in. So invariably, because Romans 5:12 says through Adam's sin, death came. And then 1 Corinthians 15:21 says, through man death came. All right. So if we put Romans 5:12 and then 1 Corinthians 15:21, death came, it means that there possibly was a choose life, choose death kind of conversation. And Adam, for some reason, by disobedience, chooses death. And then death moves in. Are you getting this? So Moses comes again and says, I bear heaven. I mean, I call heaven to record against us this conversation today, that I place before you life, death, blessing, cursing. I'm asking you, choose life. So if it seemed very figurative in Adam's time, if it seemed a bit more clear in Moses' time, because there were now laws, but the laws could not give them life. Please understand. I'm there, so let's just listen. He couldn't give it to them because it's the way God wants it to be received. So everybody says, remember what we read in, you know, when Jesus was saying that you search the scriptures and you think that in them, in John 5, you have eternal life, and then you won't come to me to have life. It's in him that there is life. All right. So if you read Galatians chapter 3, it says the law could not give life. So righteousness couldn't be by the law. Galatians 3:19. Hallelujah. Let me. Still enough points. All right. Wherefore then serves the law? All right. It was added because of transgression till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by the hands of a mediator. All right. Verse 20. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. 21. So stay with me. If the law then, I mean, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. So the law couldn't give life, so the law could not even give righteousness. Did you get that? These guys are dead. All right? They just had a special law kind of righteousness, which was not a righteousness at all. Because righteousness had to be by faith and not by works, because it is clear that by the deeds of the law, no man can become righteous. All right. You find that all through scripture. You find that verse. Let's just read, nine is about those who are of faith are blessed with Abraham. So just pick that up. Yeah. So then they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now 10. For as many as are of the works of the law, watch this, they are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continues in the book of the law, all right, to do them. Verse 11, it's clear in English. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, all right? So the blessing comes by believing, verse 9, then begins to lay foundation. You can't do the whole law and think you're going to get something. And then verse 11, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. Nobody. It is evident, all right, because it just will live by faith. So you find that Moses saying, I place for you life and death. He was trying to still, so the law's purpose, we looked at that in the last one, last episode. It's on YouTube, all right? Once you get the link or you know where to find, it's on my YouTube channel, Lion Rex and I say, all right? What the law could try to do, or all he tried to do, was keep them in line. That's what the law is trying to do. Keep them in line. Like, oh, let's be obedient. Let's follow through. Let's obey God. All right. And then we'll get his blessings. The blessings were already free to every child of Abraham. So they didn't have to obey the law to get the blessing. But because, you know, there was sin and the law brought knowledge of more sin, but through the law, God's trying to keep them in line, you know, or keep them in check. All right. Because of all of that, we see, you know, a very important revelation here. God is communicating to them. You can't get to me through the law, but the law has a purpose. Let's jump out of that. Just stay with me. Righteousness is eternal life. Don't enter that. Don't enter that. At least not today. Not today. There's a circle of life. There's a circle of death. There's a circle of life. There's a circle of death. So Adam had the choose life, choose death proposition. Moses shows up and says, I place before you life and death. Jesus came in John 10. John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. That's him declaring, guys, there is death already, okay? I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So it's the same proposition. I'm placing before you, but I'm not just placing it before you. I am coming to you. I'm coming to give it to you. I'm not just now saying choose it. I am bringing it to you in my person and myself. This is eternal life. Are you getting this? Because it's a life circle and there's a death circle. So somewhere, if you have pen, paper, if you could, you know, draw your tab or something or write somewhere, you might want to write death and then life. All right. Death, life. Now that death is spiritual. That life also is spiritual. That spiritual death now makes everything to die. That spiritual life makes everything to live. And it sounds so kindergartenish, but it is a huge revelation. It's a huge revelation. As simple as it sounds, all right? I'll say it again. You could draw a table. Write death on one angle. Write life on the other side. That death makes everything die. This life makes everything live. So we've talked about why Jesus came, that we may have life. We've read a number of verses. Was a need for eternal life, okay? Because man opened the door to death and man was dead. And you, as he made alive, you were dead in trespasses and sins. So there's still Romans 6 we could have read. And now maybe we might still go back there. I'm not sure. But you could read Romans 6. Just read from what now? Verse 1 to 6. You'd see that in there. Because you're dead to sin, but you're alive to God. So, you know, consider yourself dead and all that. That death. So when you look at the blessing and the curse, it was life and death. Let's do it. So Deuteronomy 28 from verse 1. Deuteronomy 28 from 1. The life circle, don't forget, the death circle. The life circle, the death circle, all right? The life circle, the death circle. And it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all these commandments which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, is going in the direction of life. And all these blessings, watch this, will come on you and overtake you. And if you hearken to the voice of the Lord. Now, I want you to pause. Just keep the verse on screen, please. Guys, I want you to hold on. Before your minds begin to run, okay, so I need to obey the law. No, it's not about the law. We dealt with that well in the last edition. God gave the blessing to Abraham as a gift, as a promise. In the time of Moses, we've dealt with this. But I need to just help someone. Moses now, in his time, brought up the law. All right, please watch the last Word Up edition, all right? The last two Word Up editions, we've dealt with this thing, please. Moses now comes in, all right? Galatians 3 explains this very well. Galatians chapter 3, verse 17. NLT could just help. We'll come back here. Just somebody seems to need this. Galatians 3, 17. All right. Please stay with me. Please get it. Galatians 3, 17. This is what I'm trying to say, and really is what I'm trying to say, all right? This is what I'm trying to say, that the agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. We need to shout this on the rooftops. This is what I'm trying to say. The agreement God made with Abraham could not be canceled 430 years later when God gave the law to Moses. God will be breaking his promise. Next verse, please. Verse 18. I like verse 18. Praise God. Galatians 3:18. Glory to God. Thank you, dear Jesus. All right. For if, watch this, the inheritance could be received by keeping the law, then it would not be the result of accepting God's promise, but God graciously, as a gift, graciously gave it to Abraham as a promise. And you, my dear friend, verse 29. So God gave it to Abraham as a promise. So you might go, well, that's Abraham. 29. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. Hallelujah. You are his heirs. And God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. Glory, glory to Jesus. I hope it's clear. God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. So if God made a promise to Abraham and Moses couldn't, with the law that came 430 years later, cancel it and now say you can't get that promise, you have to obey something to get it, God will be breaking his law to promise to Abraham. He now says that if you belong to Christ, and you are now that you belong to Christ, you are Abraham's seed or the true children. King James is playing in my head. All right. just playing. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you without Moses. So this thing moved from Abraham to us in Christ. But what we've done to ourselves in the body of Christ is we went from Abraham to Moses. So it was Moses' teaching that came into the body of Christ. So we all grew up with, I have to do something to get something. I have to do something to get something. If I need to be blessed, I have to. If I need to, no. That thing came later, after the promise. So if we remove the whole Moses thing, we still have a complete flow. But we learn through that to see, why would God have brought this whole thing up? Oh, I see. God is not condoning sin. He still doesn't like it. Never liked it. Still will never like it. So we see, oh, that's why. All right. But we're not seeing it to now go, oh, I need to obey the law. If I obey the law, God will graciously look at me. No, God graciously gave this thing to Abraham. Are we clear on that? Don't forget where we are. Dirt circle, life circle. And are you ready? We're going to read Deuteronomy 28. It is a bit long. All right. It's about 66, verses. We're going to read. You're going to read Deuteronomy 28, but you're going to love it. You're going to love it. Okay. I'm kind of like thinking, do we do NLT? But it'll be clear. Let's go on. Maybe where there's need for it, we'll switch to NLT so that you see, don't forget life, death. All right. Whichever one you wrote first, maybe you wrote death. Then you wrote life. It's spiritual death and it's spiritual life. And that spiritual death makes everything die. That spiritual life makes everything live. Can somebody write that down somewhere? Spiritual death makes everything die. Spiritual life makes everything live. So we'll look at the circle and we see where you belong in the circle. If we do that, then we're done today. We would have had a wonderful time, and there's still so much revelation for tomorrow. I mean, don't forget, I preached this in like 14 weeks, all right? And it's available on the website, all right? It's available on the website. I'm sure we could, right. Gabriel, please let me have the web link available. So maybe when we're rounding up, we could just drop it there, folk could copy it. Thank you. So it's just amazing. It's just beautiful, okay? And all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Life, right, guys, life. If you hearken to the voice of the Lord, how do you hearken? Once you believe in Jesus, you qualify for this. Verse 3. Thank you, dear Lord. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed, in picture it, please. Picture city, field, whatever that means for you. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you're into farming. Maybe you're, pick whatever city means to you. Pick whatever field means to you. Apply this. It means the life of God. Things would live. Things would, where life is, that life, it makes things live. Where death is, it makes things die. I know it's not tautology, please. It makes things die, steal, kill, destroy. Things are dying. Things are dying. Things are missing. Things are lost. Jobs, life, health, things die. It's death. You can't sleep at night. It's stealing your sleep. It's stealing. It's death. It's spiritual death, but it's like Roman said, it's raining. It's making you now, oh God, let me go to bed. I hope I wake up. Then I wake up. I'm awake. Thank God. Thank God for the gift. I'm like, come on. It's the fear of death. Oh God, it was 2020. Oh God, I saw 2021 January. Oh, this is 2020 December. 2020 December. Oh God. Then it's now January, 31st. And then they do the countdown to the new year. Happy New Year. Oh God. Oh God, I made it. I made it into the new year. I just want to thank you. You were afraid. So all of them, Thanksgiving, are products of fear. Fear not, child of God. Let's be filled with, listen, there is a death circle. And one man opened the door to that death. Another man has opened the door to eternal life. So we need to see, I don't belong in this. This is where I am. So I'm going to fight. And that's why, Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. It's yours. Grab it. Don't let anything cheat you out of it. All right? Blessed shall you be in the city. Blessed would you be in the field. Blessed. You're a marketer. Whatever it is. Blessed. Blessed. It might look draggy. Stay there. Stay. Yeah, remind, I'm blessed. I'm you have to say, yep, you have to feed on it. All right. Verse four. All right. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Someone might, I wish I could say, just you could pause the screen here and stare at that verse while we move on, but we have to move on together. But blessed is the fruit of your body. Blessed is the fruit of your body. Blessed is the fruit of your body. The fruit of your body. The fruit of your body is blessed. Is blessed. The blessed is blessed. Is blessed. Is blessed. NLT. Let's do NLT. Thank you, dear Jesus. NLT. Verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Your children and your crops will be blessed. So the fruit of your body, fruit of your ground. All right. Children. So don't you see that? So go back again to King James. Fruit of your body. So English is clear, right? It's clearer. So blessed shall be the fruit of your body. So whether the fruit that is in the body or the fruit that has come out of the body or the fruit that you're wanting to come to the body, your body is blessed to produce fruit, and the fruit that's come out of your body is blessed. So I'm saying that so you could still use that verse even for the kids you've given birth to. Blessed is the fruit of my body. And that guy, that girl, them kids, they are the fruits of my body, so they are blessed. Do you understand that? Because blessed is the fruit of your body. Okay? Do you understand? So blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground. So your ground produces, but all of us are not into agriculture. So what's your ground? What's your own ground? It has to produce blessing. Don't forget, anywhere there is life, things live. Anywhere there's death, things die. And that's what Moses was trying to explain to them. I place before you life and death. I mean, these things were very graphic. Moses had to make some stand on one mountain, some stand on another mountain. These ones are producing, proclaiming blessings. These ones are proclaiming curses. This thing was, they were trying to paint a graphic picture on them, on their minds. Graphic picture. Bless the fruit of everybody. Bless the fruit of the ground. Blessed is your cattle. So you're into what now? You have a dog. Your dog is blessed. You've got a cat, is blessed. You've got whatever it is, guys. Blessed is the fruit of your cattle. The increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Blessed. Do you understand this? It means everything lives. Everything prospers. Everything. I believe you're beginning to catch a picture of what this life is. Anywhere life is, things flourish. Anywhere life is, things flow. Anywhere life is, things prosper. Anywhere. If you put anyone with understanding of eternal life in the desert, leave the person for a while, come back, that thing will not be the way you met it. It will not be the way you met it, because anywhere there is life, things will live. We'll see this. And we're still on this. We're going to end when the time is up. We're going to dive into it tomorrow. Get back from church. Do all you need to do. We have different time zones. I mean, some are like 12 hours ahead of us, all right? Just we're all going to have a great time. the fruit of the flock of, they have to be blessed. All right. So you have dogs, you rare dogs. You want them to, it's all yeah. Next verse. Next verse. Glory to God. Thank you there, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Blessed is your basket and your storehouse. All right. Most of us don't have baskets. We don't have storehouses, but we got bank accounts, guys. We do have bank accounts. You have a bank account. You have a bank account. You do have a bank account, right? So whatever that basket is, whatever the investment is, whatever it is, life, it lives. It flourishes. It grows. I say, why should I just talk about my bank account? But it said their baskets were blessed. What are they doing? And that means their farm will be, you know, there will be great produce from the farm to bring. Yeah, so it's the same for you. Whatever you're doing, you will have money and you're putting in your bank. Blessed. Blessed. NLT here. NLT for this verse. And then we'll go back again. Hallelujah. Blesses your basket and stuff. All right. Your fruit baskets, your bread boards will be blessed. Sounds like it's worse. Just born for bread. Yeah. Whatever it is that wherever you put your stuff, whatever you do with your basket, it is all blessed. Back to King James. Thank you. Woof. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Bless, bless. Bless your basket yourself. Next verse, please. Blessed shall you be when you come in. Blessed shall you be when you go out. Oh, it's pandemic. I'm not going out. I'm coming in as much. You still go out somewhere. So if you see that system, you could say, I'm going out into the world of the internet. All right. Whatever you want to apply, apply. Blessed are you when you come in. Blessed are you when you go out. Whatever going out and coming in means, you use this. It's for you. It's your blessing. It just means you prosper everywhere. Next verse. All right. Verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies to rise up against you. The Lord will cause your enemies that rise up against you, you know, to be smitten before your face. They will come up against you one way. They will flee before you 7 ways. Victory, you know, you're invisible. All right. The Lord will command the blessing upon your storehouses. Don't you like that? Storehouse, bank, purse, wallet, whatever. You know. And in all that you set your hand to do. And the Lord will bless you in the land which he gives you. All right. Verse 9. The Lord will establish your holy person unto himself as he has sworn, if you keep the commandments in all the ways. And then we get to, you know, the more popular places right now. All right. And the people of Israel shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they'll be afraid of you. This is amazing. Influence and dominion. All right. Let's go. And the Lord will make you plenteous in goods. I like this one. We're going to read this and then read this in the Amplified. The Lord will make you plenteous in goods, in the fruit of the body, in the fruit of the cattle, of your cattle, in the fruit of your ground, in the land that the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. Amplify, please. Plenteous in goods. Amplify Classic. Beautiful, beautiful. Glory to God. This is the blessing, all right? And the Lord shall make you have a surplus of prosperity. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was, oof. The way you're reading some verses and then goosebumpish anointing is moving through you. Glory to God. And the Lord will make you have surplus of prosperity. You don't have to steal. You don't have to cheat. You don't have to lie to get that. It is your package in the blessing. It belongs to you. It's available for you. God graciously gave it to you as a seed of Abraham. And the Lord would make you have surplus of prosperity through the fruit of your body, and of your livestock, and of your ground in the land that he swore, all right, to your fathers to give you. They had a physical promised land. Yours is a spiritual land. You've come onto Mount Zion. So you're where you are. You're in your land. All right. That's where you are. And then you prosper. Is that okay? Great. Now verse 12. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure. The heaven to give you rain and that land in due season to bless all the work of your hand, and you will lend to many nations. You will not borrow. Verse 13, very popular. And the Lord will make you a head and not a tail, but hold it. It's not just what you were confessing back then in college, just to pass exams. And the Lord will make you a head and not tail. You will be above a loan and not beneath. Use it for your current place of work. Use it for you. You just apply this. I'm head and not tail. I'm above and not beneath. Joseph was a slave in Egypt and he rose above everybody. Daniel was a slave in Babylon and he rose. So whatever climate you find yourself, you are to rise because the blessing is on you. Because the blessing is on you. Because the blessing is on you. And that's our reading is, because where there is life, everything lives. Where there is death, everything dies. All right. So we need to rush up a bit now. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you'll be above alone, and thou shalt not be beneath. If you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to do them or to observe them, and then you go, and you shall not go aside from it, or any words that I've commanded you this day to the right hand or to the left, or go after any other God to serve them. Verse 15, and it shall come to pass if thou will not hearken unto the voice, and then we'll get into the back part, all right? You understand what I mean? Hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you this day, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. All right. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field. It means things would not work. Where there is a blessing, where there is life. Now, I want you to notice something here. So we're talking about blessing and cursing. So on that chart, where you write life, you write blessing. Where you write, you know, where you write death, you write the curse. Don't forget that. Where you write life, you write the blessing. Where you write death, you write the curse. They're together. Please let's just quickly dash to Deuteronomy 30:19. I just want to show that and we'll come back here. Deuteronomy 30:19. We'll come back. I want you to see that, please. All right. Deuteronomy 30:19. Thank you there, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Are you ready? Thank you. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you. Watch what he says. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Did you get that? Life and death, blessing and cursing. So where there is life, there is blessing. Where there is curse, there is death. Where there is death, that, so when you find the curse in a place, death is there. Death, the curse can be there if that wasn't there. All right. When you find a blessing, so when God told Abraham, I'll bless you, I bless you. What was God speaking? Life, 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 life. Anywhere there is life, things live. Anywhere there is life, things live. Anywhere there is life, things prosper. Anywhere there is life, things abound. Anywhere, anywhere. Hallelujah. You see that we're entering this. We've laid foundation. We'll enter. We'll end it well today and kick into it heavily tomorrow. Anywhere there is life, things live. I place before you life and death, blessing, cursing. So, hallelujah. So when Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, what was he saying? I've come that you might have the blessing. I've come. So that life is a righteousness. That life is the Holy Spirit. That life is a blessing. That life is the anointing. It's, they're all together. It brings the gift of God to you. It gives you the gift of God. He moves you into a new realm, a realm of victory. We're not trying to succeed. We've been moved into a kingdom of success. Something has changed about us. And we begin to experience defeat when we lose this mindset and we toy with it. Oh, but we fight the fight of faith. We lay hold on eternal life. We say no to death. We say no to the curse. We say no. We say no. Because these things can be stopped. And in Christ, they have been stopped. All right. So don't forget now. So when you write death, put curse. Where you write life, put blessing. Where there is life. So in Genesis, when God said, and God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful, multiply. How do you become fruitful? Life. You multiply. Life. You be fruitful. Multiply. Replenish. Replenish. It's a sound of life. 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 You're fruitful. You multiply. You replenish. Multiplication. Life. Things are living and breathing and moving. But the opposite is a curse. Things are dying. Things wither. Things don't grow. All right, so Deuteronomy 28. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 28. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Cursed shall you be in the city. Cursed shall you be in the field. It means things will die. Things won't work. Next, let's go. We got it. All right. cursed shall be your basket and your store. So bank accounts will fail. Things will fail. All right. Banks, you know, you're broke. All right. You just, it's death. Something is not right. All right. Glory to God. Praise God. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body and then the fruit of your ground, you know, and then the increase of your kind. Cursed is the fruit of your body, the fruit of your ground, the increase of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. Don't forget, the curse means things will not work. But let's go. There are some interesting things I want you to see. Cursed shall thou be when you come in. Cursed shall thou be when you go out. So like bad luck, like things not working, like things are failing, things are not productive. So something's just wrong. Something's wrong. Now watch this. So because something is wrong, and then people promise you they fail, you tried 5 businesses, they're not working, don't sit there and say, I'm cursed. No. You say, I have life. Do you understand that? That might be the enemy trying to sell the thing to you, and then he makes things go wrong around you, but you put your foot down, you fight the good fight of faith, you lay hold on eternal life. Don't forget, he that believeth has eternal life. Don't forget, John said, I'm writing this to you who have believed, that you may know without a shadow of doubt that you have eternal life. All right. You have it. Cursed shall you be when you come in, cursed shall you be when you go out. All right, let's go. The Lord will, we'll read King James and then, you know, just the Lord will send on you cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that you set your hand unto to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish. You know, okay, that was fast. 26. Is it 26? No, 25. Where were we? No, okay. So what? 20 what? I think we rode far. Like what? Okay, next one. Yeah, that was it. 19. Okay. 20. All right. The Lord will send upon you cursing, vexation, rebuke in all that you set your hand unto to do, until you be destroyed, until you perish quickly. NLT. I'm in between NLT Amplified, but let NLT. 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 Let's switch. We have 15 minutes, but we're using it well. Praise God. All right, thank you. The Lord himself will send on you curses. I want you to watch this now. Confusion and frustration. This sounds like normal languages Christians use. And I want to... Let's be careful. I know, I hope this won't get anybody to the edge, but languages like, I need to protect my mental health and all of that. Be careful with such, all right? That's a bit of psychology getting into the church. I know the point. I know. When you walk in love and you walk in peace and you walk in order, your mental health will usually be fine. So why don't we use languages from the Word of God? You have to borrow something, all right, from out there, and then, you know, my mental health. James teaches us that, you know, when you even have pressure and trouble all around you, count it all joy. So sometimes all these psychological teachings that have entered the church, and we just unconsciously talk about them, unconsciously even preachers, we now use these kinds of languages, and then people become a lot more self-aware. And it's not wrong to be self-aware, but Romans 12 says you should not think more highly of yourself than you ought to. So people's temperance, ability to forbear is not as strong as it should be anymore, because I just can't take it. You know, it's affecting my mental health. And then you're not persevering or forbearing. You're not, and then cut off. So rather than teach the word, we unconsciously teach a bit of psychology, and then it affects the stamina of people, the ability to handle things. All right, back to already. But I mean, see the language here. So it says confusion, frustration. It's a curse. He says the Lord will send on you, and it's not, God is not sending this. The Old Testament is not aware of the devil as much. You find that you might not be able to count like 20 like places where Satan, the enemy, you know, all of that is mentioned like that in the Bible. You can't count too many. But it's plenty in the New Testament, but you can't find, you know, even when David was playing music and the evil spirit was upon King Saul, he said, God sent the spirit, and we know God did it. All right, God did it. All right. The Lord himself will send on you, so he's not sending. All right. Confusion, frustration in everything you do until at last you're completely destroyed for doing evil and abandoning me. All right. So like, I'm confused. I'm frustrated. What have I done to God? All right. The Lord will afflict. Yeah, we could move on. The Lord will afflict you with diseases until none of you are left in the land. So disease, all right, is an affliction, is a curse. It's death. All right. All right. Until land you are about to enter and occupy. Next verse. The Lord will strike you with wasting diseases. I want you to watch this, guys. Fever, inflammation, all right? Scorching heat, drought, blight, mildew. These disasters will pursue you until you die. Amplified here, please. I want you to, whoosh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, thank you. The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, inflammation, fiery heat. All right? So it's just a fever. It's just a fever to go. No, I don't want you to have the fever. God doesn't want you to. Oh, have I had for a few days and the symptoms are ravaging? Yeah, but don't say, I have. I have eternal life. All right? I have eternal life. I have eternal life. All right, blasting mildew until, you know, they get on you. And then, so 23, let's go back to. Ah. And the heaven over you will be, you know, like brass, and the earth on there will be like iron. Life will be hard. Brass, iron, not soft ground. Life is hard. All right, 24, the Lord will make rain, you know, make the rain of your land like powder and dust, all right, from heaven. It will come down upon you until you're destroyed. That's hard. The Lord will cause thee to be smitten before your enemies. You will go out against them one way, and then you will flee seven ways until you're moved from all the kingdoms on the earth. 26. It's horrible here. Your carcasses shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, all right? And then that means, you know, the person died on the way, maybe road accident, plane crash, something, all right? And upon the beasts of the earth, and no man, you know, will free them from you. All right. 20, let's just go. All right. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, with emeralds, with scab, with H, with not clear. All right. So let's try more recent language, NLT. The Lord will what? Watch this now. The Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt. So boil, all right? It's just boil it to go. No, I don't want boil. Like, you fight it. If usually to go 3 days, 4 days, you fight it. Let it go in 6 hours. Let it go in 1 day. Let it go. If it will stay for 3 days normally and then leave, even if you have to use your faith and it left 2 days and then 12 hours, all right? You still used your faith and the thing did not do 3 days. And then you keep working your faith against it. Do you understand that? Lord will afflict you with the boils of Egypt with tumors. See that there, all right? It's a curse. The tumor is a curse. Scurvy and the itch, all right, from which you cannot be cured. And the doctor says, oh, it's incurable. And then they do the chemo and then they do the, you know, everything. And then the person is dead. And then we have too many of us going out that way. And he says, no, that's death. I want you to see this, child of God. That's death, all right? All right. The Lord will strike you with madness, blindness, panic. I can't sleep. I can't. Oh, man. No, everything is death. It's a curse. Let's go on. All right. You will grope around in the broad daylight like a blind person groping in darkness. You will not find your way. You will be oppressed, robbed continually, and no one will come to save you. No way. I don't want this. It's a curse. It's a curse. I don't want this. You will be engaged to a woman, but another will lie or, you know, sleep with her. You will build a house, you know, and then someone else will, you know, sleep with her. I mean, live in it. And then you plant a vineyard, but you will never enjoy it. And this could be used for rape. All right. You know, so you say, hey, you, because someone said, oh, that means you shouldn't break it. Someone was trying to preach. It means don't break relationship. That it has nothing to do with that. Say you engage someone and then someone sleeps. Ha. All right. So it's a crash. You could even use it for rape. Nobody just breaks into your, you know, fiance's house and says, I'm going to sleep with everybody. Hey, you can't do that. You can't do that. So you plant a vineyard, you start a business, you do something, and then eventually you don't live to see the fruit, or you just lose the whole thing and someone else enjoys all the labor. Something's wrong with it. All right. Something's wrong with it. Now, someone cheats you off it. You could say, like Abraham, I have the blessing, I can reproduce all of that. All right. Don't be focused on there's a curse. Focus on it's a blessing. What I mean is you're not saying that thing is a blessing. What I'm trying to say is you say, I have the blessing. I have the blessing. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Let's go on. 31. Your ox will be butchered before your eyes, but you will not eat a single bite of it. Ew. Your donkey will be taken from you, never to be returned. Your sheep, your goats will be given to enemies, and no one will be there to help you. No. All right. 32. You watch your sons and daughters taken away as slaves. Your heart will break for them, but you won't be able to help them. No way. All right. A foreign nation would you have never heard of, you know, will eat the crops of you've worked so hard for. You will suffer in constant oppression, harsh treatment. All right. A number of these things happen to Israel each time they disobeyed God. All right. You will go mad because of all the tragedy you see around you. And this has happened to a lot of people, even in our time. The Lord will cover your knees. All right. And your legs with incredible boils. In fact, you'll be covered from, you know, head to foot. Let's go on. The Lord will exile you, you know, and your king to a nation unknown to you and your ancestors there, you know, there in exile. You would worship gods of wood and stone. Nah. You know, and the new God, all right? Well, it's not new. Jesus already revealed him to us. He's Mammon. All right. You find that everybody just chases after Mammon right now, you know, and then you sit under a boss or sit in an economy or sit in a system, and all you just want to do is get the money. You have to put a foot down and say, no, I'm here for the kingdom of God. I'm an ambassador of Christ. All right. Next verse, please. The Lord, you will become an object of mockery, I mean, of horror, of ridicule among the no. All right. You're a testimony. I'm wanting us to read this. We're going to read it to the end. We'll stop soon. All right. And then I'll say a few stuff, but we'll stop in soon. But you're seeing this? Read on your own also. But we're going to pick this up. I want us to finish Deuteronomy 10. So we're going to read it. All right. There's a life circle and then there's a death circle. All right. Let's go to 64 and then just pick it from 64 to the end. Let's go 64. Thank you, dear Lord. Okay, well, 63 better. All right. The Lord will scatter you among all the nations from one end to the other. You worship strange gods. All right. Neither you nor your ancestors have known gods made of wood and stone. 65. There among those nations, you will find no peace, no place of rest, and the Lord will cause your heart to tremble, your eyesight to fail, and your soul to despair. 66. Your life will constantly hang in the balance. You will live night and day in fear, unsure you will survive. In the morning, you will say, I wish it were night. In the evening, you say, I wish it were morning. For you will be, you know, for you will be terrified by the awful horrors you see around you. And the Lord will send you back to Egypt in ships to a destination. I promise you never see again that you would, they will offer to sell, you know, then you will offer to sell yourselves to your enemies as slaves. No one will buy you. What a horrible life. All right. So what done? Yeah. We're done there. So, what was that? Let's pause there. I need to use this time. So let's go to John chapter 5 and verse 24. Don't forget, life, death, blessing, cursing. So there's a life circle and then there's a death circle. Don't forget that. We're still on this thing. I'm going to get deep on it tomorrow. Anywhere that life is, things live. Anywhere death is, things die. John 5, 24, and we'll wrap up on that. Anywhere life is, anywhere death is. So that's what you do now. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. I read again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him who sent me has everlasting life. Watch this. He will not come into the sentence of the devil or the judgment. He won't, but has passed from death to life. So life circle, death circle. When Adam sinned, death, sin came in, death came in, death spread upon all men. So that's why death could, you know, want to make me sick and I don't have a choice. Then death could make, no, no, no. But now I have passed. You have passed from the realm of death into the realm of life. So when that sickness, that boil, that tumor, that scab, that itch is coming your way, you say, no, I have eternal life. I have eternal life. Number one. Number two, I have come into life. So my new location, wherever you're watching, yes, there's a physical location, but your spiritual location, I have passed from death into life. So I have now entered into life. So that thing out there cannot get to me. Do you understand that? Say with me, I've passed from death to life. I've passed from death to life. I've passed from the curse. I've passed into the blessing. I have passed. I have passed. I have passed. All right. I have passed. All right. So 1 Timothy chapter 6 and then verse 12. 1 Timothy 6, 12. I have passed from death to life. Now you can resist the devil. You understand? Because he doesn't have a right over you. You're right. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. You've been brought into the kingdom of God's dear son. You've been delivered from the kingdom of death. And then you've been brought into life. Are you getting this? 1 Timothy 6 and 12. 1 Timothy 6, 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto you are called and you have professed a good profession before many witnesses. Lay hold on eternal life. It's yours. Fight the fight of faith. Fight the fight of faith. Do you understand? Fight it. I leave you with these two verses. John 5, 24, 1 Timothy 6, 12. I have eternal life and I have passed from death to life. I have eternal life. I have passed from death to life. I have eternal life. I have passed from death to life. So anywhere I see death around me, I say, no, in the name of Jesus, I have eternal life. Death cannot have a hold on me, cannot have a hold on my environment. I have life. Now I know what you are. I know where you came from. I refuse you. I resist you. I have eternal life. I lay hold on eternal life. It's mine. It's mine. I have it. But if I don't lay hold on it, I'll live like I don't have it. So I'm going to lay hold. It's mine in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. We have eternal life. Jesus came that we may have it, and now we have it. Jesus came that we may have it, and now we have it. Jesus came that we may have it, and now we have it. I have eternal life. I have passed from death into life. I've passed from the curse into the blessing. We'll make this a lot more. We'll break it down a lot more better tomorrow. What are the other things? And like we're seeing in Deuteronomy, we look, accidents, I've passed, death, see, I've passed from that, I've entered life. What is life? We see. Anywhere there is life, things live. Anywhere there is death, things die. Anywhere there is life, things live. Anywhere there is death, things die, all right? Thank you for joining in. Appreciate it. We'll be here again tomorrow. You could share. I mean, let your friends know that, hey, they need to be here, all right? So there's the link, all right? There's a website. You know, please get it. And there are loads of audio teachings right there that will bless you. I will see you tomorrow. Thank you and have a great afternoon, evening, midnight, night, early morning. All right, have a great time. All right, see you tomorrow. Yeah, bye.